back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-800-259-5791. For this hour, that's 1-800-259-5791 for this hour. And then, of course, we're hoping against hope our regularly scheduled caller is going to call in, and if he doesn't, why, it'll be just you and me. But I rather suspect he will be here with us. Now, we're going to be talking today, certainly, about some of the issues that affect each and every one of us. And right now, of course, one of the major issues I think we have to develop is what really happened on 9-1-1. Fortunately, the co-chairman of the 9-1-1 Commission, Tom Keene and Lee Hamilton, who just happened to both be members of the Council on Foreign Relations, just like the co-chairman of the Joint Select Intelligence Committee that was the first investigation, Senator Bob Graham and Portergos, Congressman Portergos, just happened to both be members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Isn't that a strange coincidence? And then, of course, as we look at who the council was for the 9-1-1 commission, it was a fellow named Philip, and I think it was Zoloff or Zeloff, something of the sort. But anyway, he just happened to be a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, as was Jamie Gorelick and John Layman, former Secretary of the Navy, John Layman. So you had the Council on Foreign Relations covering, controlling both of those investigations. And why would they want to do that? Because the last thing they want is for the American people to know what actually happened that morning. We have to understand that everything that's happened has been scripted long ahead of time. And those of you who listen regularly will know that Mr. Richard Haass, who back in 1996 was Director of Research for the Council on Foreign Relations and certainly has worked in key positions in government as well. Richard Haass, who today, since 2003, has been the President of the Council on Foreign Relations, Richard Haass wrote a syndicated article in 1996 where he described exactly what's going on today. He talked about the war on terrorism. He talked about the fact that the war on terrorism is going to change our lives, and we're going to have to get used to long lines at the airport, long lines to get into government buildings, increased government surveillance of our activities. We're going to have to give up some of our freedom because of the war on terrorism. And he's writing in 1996. What do you think he knew at that time? And what's even more significant about that article that was syndicated back in August of 1996 is that almost all the copies of the article have just mysteriously disappeared. Who would have the power to get into the file, say, the Washington Post, because it was originally published by the Washington Post, and remove from their records copies of Richard Haass's article? Somebody would have to have an awful lot of clout. Do you think it was the wicked Osama bin Laden who didn't want us to know that the plans were already in place, or could it be the intelligence agencies? Well, you're not going to hear the rest of the story right now because we have with us our good friend William Federer. Hi, Bill. How are you doing? Hello there. Bill, are you there?
Yes, yes.
Okay, fine. Well, we'll be back here in just a moment as soon as we're through this break, and we'll get into a little different subject, and we're going to be talking about the history of Labor Day. Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment here at the Genesis Communication Network.
Herbal Healer.
Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECIAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair, and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Dry, cracked heels used to be a real problem for me, especially in the summer when I wear sandals. My husband would say, "Your heels are like sandpaper." But then my podiatrist gave me Calyx ointment. It's diabetic-friendly and smooths cracked heels and calluses using natural enzymes. Calyx never stings or burns and made my heels baby soft. Now they look and feel great. If you have calluses or dry, cracked heels, try Calyx ointment. You can find it at Walgreens and Long's in the foot care section.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course, we're basically talking with William Federer about, well, good. I'll let you tell the story there, Bill.
Well, it's good to be with you, Dr. Stan. And am I on?
You are on the air. Okay, you're being heard, all around the world, so go right ahead.
Labor Day is coming up, and it does tie in somewhat with what you had been speaking earlier about the situation with the Islamics, especially over in Europe, because their labor costs have gotten so high and fewer jobs are being filled by Europeans because they have such a low birth rate that they're having to bring in people from other countries to work in their jobs, and they happen to be bringing in a lot of Muslims. And so for the sake of the labor, they're having the demographic change in their country. But this weekend, as everybody in America is aware, is Labor Day weekend. And one of the things I think is interesting is to go back and see where it came from and why we celebrate it. And it actually started back in 1880 when we had a labor situation in America with the robber barons. A little background, Dr. Stan, there's three types of taxes. Of course, I guess today there's innumerable taxes, but one was income taxes, but at the beginning of our country, we didn't have income taxes, so it was down to two types, and they were tariff taxes, where you taxed imports, and excise taxes, where you taxed specific items. Well, the tariff taxes that they put on imports helped the northern industry, but it hurt the southern states because they didn't have any industry to protect. And so the people in the South had to buy more expensive goods from Europe or more expensive goods from the North. And that was some of the animosity that led up to the Civil War. Well, after the Civil War, there was no South to complain, so the Northern states passed many, many tariffs, and it allowed domestic production of a tremendous amount of goods to be made, and they had robber barons come into being. These are very wealthy people, the Astors, the Carnegies, the Pullman Railroad cars, the Rockefellers, and as a result, there was a move to not only limit their power, but take away their income, which eventually ended up with the income tax, which was a soak the rich tax. But the situation, the Industrial Revolution that took place, not just in America, but across the world, and, you know, greed is a evil thing on both sides. So you had the greedy industrialists that were taking advantage of people, and then it was being played off the other side with the greed of the worker wanting to take away the money from the industrialists. But nevertheless, the situation in the 1880s, one, for example, was the Pullman Railroad Company in the Chicago area. They had a factory where they made railroad cars, and they owned the apartment complexes where the workers lived, and they owned the grocery stores where the workers shopped, and everything was fine until there was a depression in the 1880s, and fewer railroad cars were being bought, and so the company cut back on its wages. But it kept the rent the same, and it kept the groceries the same, and so every day the workers would work, they would get more in debt. And so that gave birth to that song, Another Day Older and Deeper in Debt, and I Owe My Soul to the Company Store, you know. And so the workers began to organize. And many of the things they organized for arguably were very good. For example, stopping child labor. And then coming up with Saturdays off. Sundays were always off from the beginning of our country because that was the Sabbath. Even Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War issued an order to his troops that they observe the Sabbath as the sacred rights of Christian soldiers and sailors and the best deference for a Christian country, that labor in the Army and Navy shall be reduced to the measure of strict necessity. But that was Sunday. But the Saturday off is the result of the labor union movement. And then the 8-day week, and then a lot of the things that improved working conditions. Well, that was fine, but as the years went on, it put things on like minimum wage and then more benefits. And what happened was business owners realized these mounting costs were making it harder for them to make a profit. And so it really came to a head with Franklin Roosevelt. And Franklin Roosevelt raised taxes so high on the businesses that the businesses decided to cut expenses by moving their plants and factories onto other countries' soil and began to lose, we began to lose the jobs, therefore. So what happened was because the labor costs got so expensive, the jobs moved overseas. And if you've ever played that game when you were a kid, Red Rover, send Johnny over, well, the companies that moved overseas began to lobby to lower the tariff taxes so they could bring their goods back into America cheaper. And then some more companies moved overseas. They began to lobby to remove the tariff taxes. And after a while, we had a tremendous amount of business people lobbying to remove tariff protections, and GATT and NAFTA were the ultimate in allowing the free trade. And so what's happened is we have very few manufacturing businesses left in America, and so the number of jobs have decreased tremendously. And so we have this sort of a circle situation where people buy their goods at Walmart, and I was disappointed to see how Walmart this week has endorsed the homosexual agenda, and they've joined the National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. So, but Walmart insists on selling everything the cheapest. And unfortunately, people like to buy the cheapest items. It's human nature. And so Walmart turns to the manufacturers and tells them that they have to sell it to them the cheapest. And if you're an American company and you can't sell it to them cheap enough, they'll go over and buy stuff from China. And so the companies in America have a struggle. If they pay the increased minimum wage and that increases the cost of what they can sell their product for, Walmart won't buy their product anymore, and then Walmart will buy overseas, and then the whole company ends up going bankrupt. And so whenever you increase minimum wage, you end up losing the number of jobs. So it's sort of a catch-22 there. So we see that Labor Day then and now, then it did correct a lot of the abuses of the robber barons. But today, unfortunately, because of the situations that have developed, it's causing jobs to leave the country. And I know I've talked a bunch here, but one story comes to mind, the auto unions in Detroit. Their contract actually stipulates that as long as their retirement benefits are paid, when they retire, their jobs do not have to be replaced with American jobs. They can be replaced over in some other country. So gradually the car companies are divesting of their American employees, and the union contracts agreed to that in exchange for the retirement benefits. They can move the replacement jobs to China or some other country. So we see this move where the higher labor costs are one of the contributing factors to jobs moving overseas. And when we celebrate Labor Day, you know, we can be thankful that their children don't have to work and that we get Saturdays off and there's an 8-hour week. But we do need to realize that we need to do something to lower the costs for the businesses so that Walmart can continue to buy from American factories.
And so what's the solution, Bill? Because that is the real problem. The situation we have today is we're losing our manufacturing base. So many of our major companies are moving overseas. General Motors is transferring its major manufacturing today to China. General Motors is the largest manufacturer of vehicles in China, a second or third in South Korea. It's moving into India. It's moving into South America, into Brazil. Ford is moving into Mexico, and heaven only knows where else. We are going to lose our entire automotive industry other than the foreign-owned companies like Toyota, which right now can produce cars here in the United States cheaper than it can produce the cars in Japan because their wage levels are so high. They've driven Japanese, you know, industries right out of Japan. But the same thing's going to happen down the line. They're going to find it's a lot cheaper to build over in China than it is to build here in the United States. And then what are people going to do? Where are they going to get jobs? Globalization is a two-edged sword. I mean, it helps industries to go overseas, but what does it end up doing to the industrial base of America?
Well, you're bringing up a very good point. And the GATT and NAFTA that have been passed haven't helped the situation any. As a matter of fact, the NAFTA has brought the problems to Mexico, where they now allow the Walmarts to move in and sell stuff in Mexico cheaper than the Mexican manufacturers can make it. And so it has put tens of thousands of manufacturing jobs out in Mexico. And then the international grain companies are able to sell down in Mexico cheaper than they can grow their own corn. And so it's put millions of, you know, little peasant farmers out of work. And so you have the situation where it's destabilized the whole country, and then they're in turn flooding into America, thinking that somehow or another they can benefit here, but we're just sitting on top of a big debt bubble that they're coming in is just going to exacerbate the problem.
Amen to that. And, of course, the problem is that they are then going to begin to live off of our welfare benefits and bankrupt our welfare system here. So the so-called safety net. And a lot of people who are here in this country illegally are getting help to buy homes and getting food stamps and all those things. Isn't it great? America's the greatest country in the world, or the most foolish. Proper nutrition is absolutely essential for good health, but most people just don't eat right. Did you know that vitamin C is essential for our health? It's responsible for our collagen, for our bone. It's an excellent antioxidant that protects our immune system, but we can't produce it. Every other animal in the world can produce it except for fruit bats, hamsters, and human beings, and that's why we need vitamin C supplements. Most people are vitamin D deficient during the winter months, and certainly those who work indoors are vitamin D deficient during the entire year, and you need supplements. If you'd like to learn about the various health books and tape sets and videos and other health products that are available from Radio Liberty, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the Radio Liberty Health Catalog.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly we're talking today, about with William Federer about Labor Day and really what's happening as far as our economy is concerned. And, you know, when the labor movement started, there was a man named Samuel Gompers. And Samuel Gompers believed that the workers in this country were getting a bum deal. But he also opposed socialism, and I'll never forget something he said. You know, look the world over wherever you will, and wherever you find compulsory government benevolence, you'll find initiative removed from the hearts of men. In other words, he was totally against the welfare state and this idea of giving people things. He wanted people to work, but he also wanted people to be able to get a fair share of their labor, the product of their labor. So he organized, he was the founder of the American Federation of Labor and really did a good job with that. Organizing labor, unfortunately, as the years have gone by, I believe organized labor here in the United States has been taken over by people who often are really working hand in glove with the employment, and everybody's playing the laborers simply as fools. In fact, Milton Friedman wrote a book called Capitalism and Freedom, and he talked about how old John L. Lewis, who headed the United Mine Workers, and he was working hand in glove with the mine manufacturers. Every time they got too much coal on hand, he'd have the people go out on strike, and of course, then the mine workers wouldn't get any money. And the mine owners would be able to dump all of their coal on the market, and then when they got shortage on coal, then they'd go ahead, make a few concessions, and get a little higher salary, and the people would go back to work. And the only people who really lost were the workers. And unfortunately, this is the way that the game is played. That's Capitalism and Freedom by Milton Friedman. Very informative to see, not the what we are told in the textbooks, but what really happened. So you pick up the story there.
Well, it's true that, unfortunately, the concentration of power is a danger, and whether that power is concentrated in the government or big business or with labor unions. And we have heard so many stories, whether it's Jimmy Hoffa or the organized crime, you know, murders or the rigging of elections that unions have been involved in. And so the concentration of power that's unchecked, at least with the government, you have a way to have elections that are out in the open and seen by the public. But once power is concentrated, it can be more easily manipulated. And one of the issues that we hear over and over again is people that are social conservatives, yet their union dues are going to support causes and candidates that are social liberals. And my wife, who was a teacher for a while, got on the mailing list of a union newspaper, and I was shocked when I read through that the prostitutes in Las Vegas have unionized and they want health benefits. And so this union newspaper said, well, we may not agree with what they're doing, but now there are union brothers and sisters and we need to stand together with them. And I thought, my goodness, you're willing to compromise such a, you know, you're going to support prostitution because of it. It's like we wish that one group would be able to hold the moral high ground, but unfortunately that's not the case. And but historically, it was Karl Marx that came up with this idea of from every man according to his ability to every man according to his need. And Karl Marx's idea, when the Industrial Revolution was going on, it swept Europe and it swept Russia, and the Tsar there, the people wanted to take from him, and they killed him. And they set up the, you know, the communist government there where the government owned everything. But what happened after 70 years, they found out that it was basically a rule by a gang. And you had the people that were in power that got to decide who got to live in the nice houses and who got to live in the tenement houses. And so you're back to people that are in control, that have motives, and you can't vote them out. But what happened in America, instead of, you know, killing the czar or killing the owners, they just passed, first they passed the inheritance tax, because only the extreme wealthy had an inheritance worth leaving. And then they passed the corporate income tax, because only the extreme wealthy owned corporate stock. Finally, under Woodrow Wilson, the country allowed a 1% tax on the top 1% richest people in the country. It was the income tax. And history shows that the way it was ratified, it may not have actually been ratified, but nevertheless, public opinion was supporting it because it was a soak the rich tax. Nobody in their wildest imaginations thought that the income tax would tax them. It wasn't until after World War II that the income tax spread out to tax the common person. And we see that the income tax had its start back in the labor movement.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with William Federer here at Genesis.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding the bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfall, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 928-8822.
And back here at the Genesis Communication Network, our guest is William Federer. And before I go on, Bill, do you want to go ahead and get your website out and how people can get in touch with you if they'd like to get the great books you've written?
Oh, thanks, Dr. Stan. My website is AmericanMinute.com. That's AmericanMinute.com. And I send out a free daily email called the American Minute. Excuse me. And I have a telephone number. It's 1-888-USA-WORD. 1-888-USA-WORD. And many books and CD resources are available there.
Okay, very good. Well, we've been talking about the labor movement here in the United States, which is honored, of course, this coming Monday, Labor Day, and we get a nice long weekend. But people have forgotten already the struggle there was many years ago. So the laboring man here in the United States would get a fair shake. Now, here in the United States, we developed a very large and prosperous middle class, in large part because of the labor movement and some of the demands that were made may have been unrealistic, but some of them certainly were deserved and needed. But unfortunately now, with globalization, the elimination of tariffs and excise taxes, now suddenly the average American laborer is put in competition with the peasant in China who will work for 25 or 50 cents an hour, maybe $2 or $3 a day, and is glad to get that. And how can you possibly compete with that sort of labor when you have intelligent people over there willing to work for those low sums of money? So what's happening? Our jobs are leaving. Certainly our technology is leaving. And we're going to be left with an awful lot of Americans who are not going to be able to get good-paying jobs, are going to have to take lower-paying jobs or several jobs just to try to maintain their living standards. And I don't think they're going to be able to get to maintain their living standards. I think we're going to see an awful lot of Americans impoverished before this is over. And nobody's telling them. And we're being told, oh, isn't globalization great? Look at the corporate profits. But if you don't have stock in the corporation, or you don't work for the corporation, how is that going to benefit you? And as more and more jobs and more of our certainly our technology and more of our manufacturing leaves the United States, I think we're on a one-way road to catastrophe. What are your thoughts, Bill?
Well, you know, I talked to somebody recently who was over in Europe, and they said that the labor structure is changing. In other words, it used to be, because of the labor movement so strong, that people would get a week off a year, 2 weeks off, 3 weeks off, got to the place where people would get 2 months of vacation every year. And, you know, they would go on their holidays and travel. But now they're finding that they cannot maintain their economies. And so they're cutting off all these big pork benefits. And the new young workers that are joining the workforce are, you know, protesting because they're not able to participate in all that. But it's something that the world is basically getting where the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poor. One of the things I did in looking back in history found that in the Muslim countries, that's where they need a labor movement, because in the Quran they relegate Christians and Jews to a second class status called diminis. And this diminis class, these Christians and Jews, they cannot hold jobs other than being street sweepers or, you know, house workers or working with pigs, you know, all the different jobs, trash collectors. And they get taxed at a higher rate. And the Turks in the Muslims in Turkey would actually force every male to pay a head tax, an extra tax. And if they didn't, of course, they were killed, and they would, if a Christian woman was pregnant, you know, they'd tell her that she probably had a boy, and so she needed to start paying the tax, and then if somebody died, they'd make them pay the tax 5 years and after they died, you know, every year. But the workers over there, especially the Christians and the Jews, were treated terribly. And especially that's the situation in China and many other countries. So they could stand for a labor movement. It would cause the cost of labor in those countries to rise, and so might switch some of the jobs back to our soil. But I think that when we look at the global scene, we can see that we're just one part of the puzzle. And I would like to throw in one thing, Dr. Stan, in my research, just going through the mentions of labor throughout history, I was surprised that originally days off free from labor was a Christian thing. For example, in 1780, George Washington gave an order to his troops to honor a day of fasting and prayer. And Washington said, "The Honorable Congress, having been pleased by their proclamation the 11th of last month to appoint Wednesday, the 22nd instant, to be set apart and observed as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer for certain purposes therein mentioned, and recommend that there should be no labor on that day." And this is the same is to be observed according throughout the army. The different chaplains are to prepare their discourses. But here we have an order from General Washington saying that no labor shall be done on this day. Why? Because it was a day of fasting. And another quote was from James Madison. And when he was president he issued several proclamations similar to that, where the work was suspended because it was a day of fasting or a day of prayer. And Lincoln did the same thing in 1864. It says that we should have a day that we should pray to our Heavenly Father for favor for our citizens, because he has crowned our labor of the working man with abundant rewards. And so he acknowledges that the blessings on labor are from God. And of course, nowadays you have trouble even acknowledging God. But it's interesting to see that the whole concept of taking time off from your labor, at least in American history, goes back to the Judeo-Christian roots. And for example, in his second annual message, Andrew Jackson said, "Divine Providence has favored us with general health and rich rewards in fields of agriculture and in every branch of labor." And so he acknowledges divine providence in blessing our labor. One of the things that the Labor Day in America is the first weekend in September and not May 1st, is May 1st is the Labor Day throughout the rest of the world. And it's a big day celebrated by communists. And so the founders of our Labor Day didn't want to scare the public with trying to associate with the communist movement, and so they moved and had the Labor Day in September rather than on May 1st, which is the communist worldwide Labor Day.
Well, I think that's fascinating, Bill, and there's really so much in the history we don't know. And, of course, the way that the communists have used the labor movement, but, of course, the trouble is that what you have in Russia today, or what you had in Russia under the communist regime, was basically an elitist system with everybody else impoverished below that. In other words, if you were one of the commissars, you had good homes, you had unlimited benefits and a good salary, and everybody else was really just having to work for meager wages. My concern is the way things are going is this could very well be what's going to happen here. And we already hear reports about the increasing disparity between the people of great wealth and the laborers who are not going to have the protection because the labor unions are being undermined here in the United States because of this program of globalization, which is really being pushed by the great corporations, but I don't think is benefiting the average individual. Now they say, look at all the good things we can buy so cheaply at Walmart, but down the line, are people even going to have the money to buy the things at Walmart?
They'll still buy it on credit until their credit maxes out, and then it'll hit the fan. The concentration of power is the danger, whether that power is concentrated in big government or in big business, or in big labor. It takes it away from the hands of the people. That's why it's so important our founders had at least enough sense to give the people the power to control the government by voting out those that spend uncontrollably. The problem is human nature wants free stuff. And Ronald Reagan once said, "The government that's big enough to give you everything you want is big enough to take away everything you have." And we've been more and more pushing for the government health care, the government retirement benefits and all these things. But once they do that, they'll be in total control. And big business is just as dangerous. In Missouri, the state of Missouri, they have a cloning amendment on the ballot. That's right, an amendment to allow cloning, human cloning. And they want to put it into the big into the state constitution. And you think, Missouri is a pretty conservative state. Why would they be doing that? Well, big money. There's the Danforth have the Purina dog chow factories, and there's another Stowers Research company out in Kansas City. We're talking $15 million they've put into promoting this. One research group. Why? Because big business. Because they know that if it gets into the state constitution and the wording is that the state will have to fund it, that the funding will go to their business and they will do the human cloning and all the research and they will get to keep the patents. So it'll be state funding of private patents. And so this is big business pushing this. And so big business can be acted without morals just the same way that big government can, and big unions can. And we all hear stories of the murders and where's Jim, somebody's body buried.
Where's Jim Hoffa? That's the question. Where's happened to Jimmy Hoffa?
Yeah, and but that's why the founders, over and over again, when you read there, it talks about it's important for there to be a Christian moral populace. Why? Because if everybody has internal morals, then whenever those people are in power, whether it's government power, big business power, or union power, they will be guided by internal morals of whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do it to me. But now that we've removed so much Christian morals, that all you have left is greed, the base part of human nature, and whether that greed is people wanting bigger government so that they can have their retirement benefits, or big business so that the few can profit off that, or the big unions where they can have the power to push. So when you take away, it was William Penn that once said, if you remove God, then you'll have more masters. That people that reject God will end up getting more and more masters who will be cruel. And we're seeing that happen today, where our country has been rejecting God from the schools and so many different places. And we're having lots of different masters rise up. And if we do believe that the God we still acknowledge on our coin exists, maybe he is going to hold us accountable for everything from the Terry Schiavo killing to the taking God off our coins, to the abortion, to the gay marriage, and things that you can't help think that, especially in light of the founders. When I read through, Woodrow Wilson, for example, had a day of fasting and prayer during World War I. And he said that we, as a nation, should repent of our sins. And I thought, if you ask somebody in government today to define a sin, what would they say? I mean, anything can be justified. And so I think that we're in a situation where we may be inviting judgment, and whether that comes through, the Islamic situation, or through the economic dilemmas we're putting ourselves in. It's very similar to the fall of the Roman Empire, where they had exported all their jobs to North Africa. That's where the grain was being grown. And when the Vandals came through and conquered North Africa, it cut off the grain supply, and Rome couldn't mount a counterattack. And the same way with the when the Muslims took over there in North Africa, it was very strongly Christian, but it was Coptic Christian and Byzantine Christian, and they didn't get along with each other, plus they didn't get along with the Roman Catholic Christians. And because of their infighting, they were weakened, and then when Muhammad's religion came in, some of them thought, well, gee, maybe this is better than the other people, in Europe, in the Turkey, the Asia Minor area, the Orthodox Christians and the Roman Catholic Christians had basically excommunicated each other and attacked each other. And when the Muslims came in, some of those Orthodox Christians thought they would be better, better to live under than the others, and it turned out wrong. Years and years of persecution that has taken place from that diminished status in those countries where they were. As a matter of fact, Teddy Roosevelt, one of my favorite presidents, wrote a book in 1916, and the title of the book is Fear God and Take Your Own Part. Man, what a title for a book. But Teddy Roosevelt said this. He goes, Christianity is not the creed of Asia and Africa at this moment, solely because the 7th century Christians of Asia and Africa had trained themselves not to fight, whereas the Muslims were trained to fight. Christianity was saved in Europe solely because the people of Europe fought. If the people of Europe in the 7th and 8th centuries, up to and including the 17th century, had not included, had not possessed a military equality with the Mohammedans who invaded, Europe would at this moment be Mohammedan and the Christian religion exterminated. And, and this is Teddy Roosevelt. He says, whenever the Mohammedans have had complete sway, and wherever Christianity has been unable to resist them by the sword, Christianity has ultimately disappeared. And he concludes, from the hammer of Charles Martel to the sword of John Sobieski, Christianity owes its safety in Europe to the fact that it was able to show it could and would fight as well as the Mohammedan aggressor. And so we see the, this was almost 100 years ago that Teddy Roosevelt wrote this, and it's almost prophetic that we're facing that same thing today. But our country's been weakened with a lot of jobs leaving, and we're at a place where, you know, long drawn out, again, like the Roman Empire, they were having terrorist attacks from the Visigoths and the Ostrogoths and Attila the Hun, you know, going out wiping out whole cities of 75,000 people. That was certainly a terrorism attack. And Rome had its main military stretched from, you know, Britain to North Africa to the Middle East, putting out global fires.
Sort of like we got right now.
And they couldn't control their borders, and they were being overrun with the illegal immigrants.
Yeah, right. And we can't control our borders. There's a lot of similarities, Bill. Thank you so very much for being with us. We'll look forward to talking to you on Monday evening.
I'm looking forward to it, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back here at Genesis. Cancer and diabetes and heart disease is increasing in the United States? Are you eating a lot of food that's loaded with sugars in them? Or are you certainly eating prepackaged meals that are loaded with MSG? Or are you drinking Diet Coke that's loaded with aspartame? What are you doing to protect your health? What are you doing to protect the health of your family? Well, most people really don't understand the importance of good nutrition, so I've compiled a list of the books on health, the tape sets, the videos, the vitamins and minerals and herbal products that Radio Liberty carries, and the doses of the products that we recommend. If you'd like to receive a free copy of the Radio Liberty Health Catalog, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And remember, proper nutrition is essential for good health.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout. Developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription fill. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Wow. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this is the time when we need to remind our listening audience that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we depend on those of you who listen to our programs and agree that we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political and ideological battlefield. We depend on those of you who agree with that contention to, at least if you're able to support us. And, of course, you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. But then, of course, we want to mention, if you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, and I suggest my May newsletter, which goes into immigration and tells you what's really behind it, and will take you into the spirits of forces that are pushing this whole immigration movement. Why, give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. Ask for a free copy of the May newsletter. Now, you can get it on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. All of our newsletters are up there. You have our permission to pull them down and copy them and distribute them and get them out far and wide. Of course, we put many of them together in pamphlet form. We have all of our articles on 911 in a three-pamphlet set entitled Foreknowledge 911. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really was foreknowledge. They knew the attack was coming. They even knew when the attack was coming. And that's what we covered in our latest newsletter. How do we know they knew when? Well, there's so much evidence they do. But, of course, the 911 Commission didn't investigate any of those things. And then, of course, we have our three pamphlets set on the occult hierarchy. There really is an occult hierarchy that rules the world. And there really are supernatural forces. There is another dimension. And there are some people who can tap into that. That's where the fortune tellers and the mediums and the diviners and the witches get their special power. But you don't want to go there. But you need to understand that there really are people who are tapping into the other dimension. And then we have a pamphlet on the history of money, one on genetic engineering, and we hope you'll want to get all of these pamphlets. I keep them right next to where I'm doing my work because there's so much material there that and ready reference and the source of that information. And then, of course, we do hope many of you want to consider getting some of the new things we're carrying. We're carrying a book called Hostage to the Devil. Hostage to the Devil. It was written by Malachi Martin. And I will tell you, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again after reading it. We also have his four-tape set of my interviews with Malachi. The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, and if you get the two together, why, you get a reduced cost, a reduced price. We're carrying another new DVD. It's called Rape of the Soul. It was a full-length motion picture showed earlier this year in the 12 major markets in the United States. And some of those major markets was on for 9 weeks, and yet not a word in the controlled media about it. The production company was infiltrated and undermined, and of course the producer has received death threats. Why? Because he's telling the truth about pornographic art being put out in the various dioceses of the Catholic Church. Rape of the Soul is put out by the Catholic Church. By a Catholic. He's telling you what's going on in the church, and you need to know, and you need to help us get the information out. And I don't mean to just be picking on the Catholics, because I believe we've got the same thing as similar problems in all the churches today. There is a conspiracy against God. If you haven't yet seen the videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. Joe Schimmel's latest DVD entitled The Da Vinci Con, Hollywood's War on America, or certainly Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2 put out by Chris Pinto. These are all excellent. If you've not yet seen my talk on the World Revolution, with my interview with the Ambassador Earl Smith, the American Ambassador to Cuba, explains to you how we brought Fidel Castro to power, knowing he was a communist, this mass murderer, such a good friend of David Rockefeller's daughter. And if you don't believe that, why, we carry David Rockefeller's memoirs, and you can get them by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, today our guest is Jim Fetzer, and we're going to be talking about what happened on 911. And, of course, he is with a number of organizations, working with organizations. For scientists, for the, what's the name of the organization?
Scholars for 9/11 Truth.
Scholars for 9/11 Truth, and you'll find the information they have is fascinating. Well, Jim, you know, do you think we're making any headway? Do you think that some people are beginning to understand that what we saw in 9/11 was not what we thought we saw in 9/11?
Oh, I think so, Stan. I think since C-SPAN broadcast the panel discussion from the Los Angeles American Scholars Conference held on the 24th and the 25th of June, that there's been quite a breakthrough, that it has legitimated public discourse about 9/11, and it's receiving a tremendous amount of attention, especially a couple of incidents where we have faculty members, one at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and another at the University of New Hampshire, who are under attack from state legislators and other politicians for dealing with these issues, which is rather preposterous on its face. After all, if 9/11 is the event that changed everything, as the president and vice president never tire of telling us, then surely it deserves some kind of thorough, systematic, academic research scrutiny. So I find it very difficult to understand why politicians and governors of these states should be attacking those who are actually undertaking research to find out what really happened on 9/11.
Well, I think that, of course, I saw that program, but that Alex Jones had put on C-SPAN, and I think that this Professor Stephen Jones talking about the fact that he could find evidence of thermate, which is, of course, a cutting substance, a cutting explosive, that can be used to cut across those beams, and nobody's ever tried to explain how it was possible for those buildings to have come down the way they did.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Stan. I mean, Jones has found the residue of thermite on some steel beams. The National Institute of Standards and Technology had already acknowledged finding residue of sulfur, which it could not explain, and sulfur plus thermite equals thermate, which has, as you observed, tremendous steel-cutting properties, and he believes that thermate in combination with other explosives were responsible for blowing the buildings up from the top down, as Judy Wood has described it, but as most Americans don't realize, it was as though you had two gigantic trees that were turning to sawdust from the top down.
And I think that the speed with which those buildings came down, I think, was the real turning point. There's no way that all that steel could have just collapsed spontaneously.
You're exactly right. I mean, that's a perfect point to make. The building, the South Tower, for example, came down, was destroyed because it's not really coming down. None of the floors are moving. It's just being blown up from the top down in 10 seconds, as even the 9/11 Commission reported, well, if I'd gone to the top of that 110-story building and released, for example, a grand piano, and it had nothing between it and the ground except air, it would have taken more than 12 seconds to hit the ground. So it's preposterous to imagine that these massive steel structures could have somehow collapsed in less time than it would take freefall.
And I think that there's so many unanswered questions out there. And, of course, they're doing everything they can to tell us why anybody who questions what's going on, they try to convince it's a Jewish conspiracy. That's what it is. And what they do is they put up all these preposterous things to discredit and demonize people who are looking intelligently at what happened that day. And then when you ask them, why did Building 7 come down? They don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about the Twin Towers, but nobody has even tried to explain why the whole base of Building 7, many hours after the collapse of the other buildings, why the whole base of Building 7 suddenly just exploded and the building came down in its own shadow, almost like a controlled demolition.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn the secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
Are terrorist cells or prime terror targets located near you? Where are military bases and hazardous waste sites located? How do you find the best area for solar, average rainfalls, fish contamination advisories, and major transportation routes? In the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA, you will find the information you want with over 50 interactive parameters that you control. Find everything from housing prices and taxes to brewing environmental catastrophes. Locate billion-dollar disaster-prone areas, the safest cities, ideal solar locations, and much, much more. Complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution, full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis that you need. Get this hard-to-find information by ordering Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping and handling by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network. I have an urgent message for all of our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world, quote unquote. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. debt bubble, red alert, and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 888-8-XANADU and ask for George.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. James Fetzer, who's a retired philosophy professor. Had spent 35 years teaching philosophy, but now he's dedicating himself to try to get the truth out about what happened on 9/11. And, of course, one of the most important issues we were just talking about was the fact that on the morning of the attack, there were at least 5 military exercises, some of them involving supposed, theoretical of course, hijacking of planes, and at least on one occasion those planes were to be crashed into a building, and there were all sorts of then of false images were placed onto the radar screens designed to confuse the FAA and the NORAD technicians who are watching the radar screens. And even after Flight 11, American Flight 11, had crashed into the North Tower, you could still see it on the radar screen flying down towards Washington, D.C. No wonder they were confused. No wonder they didn't know what was happening. No wonder, of course, there weren't any planes to guard America. They were all off on other exercises elsewhere. Wasn't it convenient that the hijackers picked that one day when there were military exercises simulating the hijackings to carry that out? And that the most important thing, Dr. Fetzer, is the fact that the average American has never heard about those military exercises.
Well, you're right on top of it, Stan. I mean, it's just astonishing. You'd think these guys had inside information. And, of course, you know, later when the president was down at Booker Elementary School in Sarasota, where I used to reside, there were reports that they had obtained secret coded information about ANGEL, which is the Secret Service designation for Air Force One, and how they were planning to attack the president in Sarasota, where the plane was parked at the airport. And although those reports were being distributed, which they would later be suppressed, the Secret Service did absolutely nothing in relation to reacting to hustle the president off to some secret location or give him some kind of immediate attention and protection. Instead, Andrew Card wandered into the classroom, leaned down and told him that there had been a second strike and that America was under attack. And the president of the United States simply sat there, very much like a deer looking in the headlights, no reaction, no response, continued to discuss with class a book about a girl and her pet goat. It was really quite an atrocious performance, if you ask me. He had also observed that after the plane hit the North Tower, the first impact, that he said or thought to himself, man, that was really a terrible pilot. It had to be before the second impact, which only occurred about half an hour later. And yet, after the second impact, you'd never say such a thing. You'd realize that, of course, it was a deliberate attack, which suggests that he had access to a visual record of the first impact, which no Americans even knew had been recorded by a French team on the ground for days.
Of course, the films of the attack on the first building of the North Tower, as Jim says, weren't available until the following day, and yet the president insisted, and I've heard him actually say this on transcripts, that he actually had seen the attack on the first building, even though that nobody else had access to those films until the following day. And then sometime later, why, of course, they had the attack on the second tower, and nobody's ever delved into that. Isn't it interesting that the 911 commission didn't ask those questions?
Well, the 911 commission didn't ask an awful lot of questions. They've admitted lately that they didn't ask Rudy Giuliani a lot of important questions. They've admitted that they let the Pentagon give them a runaround and didn't get straight answers from the Pentagon. They have acknowledged, as anyone can tell, that they said nothing about Building 7, which, as you observed, came down at 5:20 in the afternoon, about 7 hours after the first two buildings had been destroyed from the top down, in a form that represented a classic controlled demolition. It was destroyed from the bottom. You see all the floors in motion. Reporters on the scene like Peter Jennings and Dan Rather were observing. It was just like those demolitions we've all seen in Las Vegas, bringing down hotels and casinos before they're reconstructed. And, of course, we know Larry Silverstein, who had, in fact, leased the World Trade Center and had insured the buildings against a terrorist attack just 6 weeks earlier for $3.5 billion, actually gave an interview to Public Broadcasting where he explained how, during a conversation with a fire commander, he had suggested there had been so much death and destruction, perhaps the best thing to do was to pull it, that they made the decision to pull and they watched the building come down. But the building can't have been pulled, brought down by controlled demolition, unless demolitions were already in place in the building. And if they were in Building 7, that raises the prospect they were in 1 and 2 as well. And indeed, it turns out there were odd security lapses in those two buildings several weeks before 9/11. Whole sections of the building were shut off. Employees were sent home. The security apparatus was turned off, and teams of so-called engineers were running in and out of the building, having free access. Stephen Jones, a professor of physics from BYU, who's been studying what may have brought down the building, who's discovered that thermite appears to have been involved, for example, has suggested it could have taken as few as 10 men, 10 trips, in order to implant enough explosives to destroy these buildings.
And, of course, I think one of the most revealing things, of course, I've been studying this since September 11th of 2001, was the sudden realization, and I had to check this out myself to be sure it was correct, that sitting on the board of directors of the committee or organization that was responsible for a security in the North Tower was a man named Marvin Bush, who happened to be the president's brother, the one nobody ever talks about. And anybody who wants to check that out can go up and Google in North Tower Marvin Bush, and you'll get that. How could they get to seal that fact? Whether it's important or not, you would think that would be thoroughly brought out, thoroughly discussed, along with those military exercises that were held that morning, simulating, a hijacking and the crashing of planes into buildings.
Well, it's quite absurd, Stan. I mean, not only was Marvin Bush a member of the board of directors, but as David Ray Griffin, the noted Christian theologian from Claremont Graduate School, who has published over 30 books, including nearly half a dozen now on 9/11, observes in his book, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, the chief executive officer of Securecom, the security outfit that had not only responsibility for the World Trade Center, but also for Dulles Airport and United Airlines, had as its chief executive officer Wirt Walker III, who was a cousin of the president. So you had an awful lot of Bush influence and control over the security outfit that was involved in these different locations that were involved in the terrorist activities.
Well, I think one of the most interesting things is this William Rodriguez, and I've talked to him, and I'm sure you have talked to him as well. And he was, of course, in maintenance in the North Tower. And he actually had heard an explosion in the basement of the building before the plane hit the top of the North Tower. And what's so interesting about that is that has been totally blacked out. The 911 Commission claims that they were going to bring everything out so the American people could see it. And then they took about 1,200 testimonies, and they concealed most of them and sealed them for 50 years for privacy reasons.
Well, it's completely outrageous, and you're completely right about the impact of the planes in relation to the explosions in the sub-basement. A couple of scholars have been investigating this and have discovered that those explosions in the sub-basement were recorded by the seismic laboratories conducted by Columbia University, and the impact of the planes was determined by FAA and radar data, and it turns out those seismic explosions occurred 14 and 17 seconds earlier than the impact of the planes, which means that it was like a David Copperfield performance. Distraction was the order of the day, while attention was on the planes impacting with the top of the building, the serious business of seeking to dislodge the 47 core columns that ran the entire height of these two buildings. That was their innovative engineering feature. Since they were the principal source of support and allowed all this open office area to surround them, were being taken out and separated from the bedrock. As you observe, William Rodriguez was actually in one of the sub-basement areas, had a fellow custodian have nearly all the skin blown off of his body, and has a very vivid recollections of exactly what happened at that time and place.
And, of course, this has not been publicized by the controlled media, and his testimony before the 911 Commission was totally suppressed. And the whole idea that we were going to get any truth out of 911 is ridiculous. The investigation was not to reveal, but to conceal what happened. In fact, the president, appointed the man in charge. And then, of course, he was very, very careful. Whoever was on the commission, and then they censored the report. If there's nothing to conceal, then why did they insist on censoring both the Joint Intelligence Committee report and the 911 Commission report?
You're right on top of it, Stan. In fact, there are 12 different categories of evidence that is still being withheld from the American people. If any of your listeners go to ST911.org, and up to the top, they'll see our petition to the American government, which has been sent to every member of Congress and every member of the Senate, asking for the release of evidence in 12 different categories. And if you just request, just review that petition and understand what we're talking about, the most important evidence from all of these sites, from New York City, from the Pentagon, and from Shanksville, Pennsylvania, you begin to appreciate the dimensions of what the government has withheld from the American people. Not only that, but it was stunning how George Bush, who feigns to be the security president, delayed for hundreds of days before getting around to appoint a commission to investigate. If you or I, Stan, have been president of the United States, an event like this took place, our most pressing and immediate task would be to appoint an independent panel of qualified experts to ascertain what exactly had happened so we could ensure it didn't happen again and those who were responsible were held accountable. But nothing like that happened. It wasn't until political pressure was applied by the survivors of the victims of 9/11 that they finally acquiesced in creating a commission. They gave it a charge not to actually figure out what had happened, but what should be done for the future, to ensure things like this not happen again, as though you could do that without knowing what actually had caused these events to take place in the first place. And then when he and Dick Cheney were called in to testify, they went in together holding hands and did not testify under oath.
Now, is that ST911.org? Or
yes.
ST, like Sam.
Scholars for Truth, yeah.
Scholars for Truth, 911.org. Ladies and gentlemen, you owe it to yourself and to your posterity to find out what really happened that day. And if you come to the conclusion that I did, and basically it's only, I don't worry about a lot of the details. I just say, why did Building 7 come down? Why didn't we hear about the military exercises? And why, according to the 9 commissions, did the military lie about it? We'll be back in just a moment.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Gold, it's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Roswell, UFOs, flying saucers, alien abduction. Are we alone? Information regarding this and many other questions about the unknown are only a click away at www.theufostore.com. Theufostore.com offers hundreds of DVDs about UFOs, aliens, crop circles, conspiracies, Bigfoot, suppressed science, ancient mysteries, and the latest DVD releases like Dan Aykroyd, Unplugged on UFOs, and the Alien Files 5 DVD set. TheUFOStore.com also offers the book Roswell, It Really Happened by Jesse Marcel, one of the last survivors of the Roswell UFO crash that examined the spacecraft wreckage in 1947, revealing its hidden secrets. Log on to www.theUFOStore.com and request a free UFO Store catalog. To receive a free catalog by mail, call 541-523-2630. That's 541-523-2630. TheUFOStore.com, the largest selection of UFO products on the Internet.
If you're looking at the world today from within the box, you must see total chaos and feel lost with no hope. Out-of-the-box thinkers, such as Nostradamus, who saw the world from a different perspective, knew that nature or God's truth would prevail. They saw that today's organized religions and governments are being judged, not with the hand of man through atomic wars, but with the hand of God through natural disasters. We are judging ourselves during this trying apocalyptic period. by all our hidden truths being uncovered. Don't you see this happening through the media today? Just remember these famous words. Everything hidden will be uncovered, and the truth will make you free. For evidence of these statements, get Jerry Vanno's new book, The Uncovering of the Greatest Story Never Told. Go to www.gvanno.com. That's www.gvanno.com.
Some might call it a whitewash, man.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Professor James Fetzer, and we're talking today about what really happened on 9-1-1. And basically, this changed America forever. What you don't understand, it was all planned that way. You can go back, and we have an article written by Mr. Richard Haas, H-A-A-S, who happens to be current president of the Council on Foreign Relations. But in 1996, he was talking about our coming war with terrorism. The long lines at the airport, the long lines at the government buildings, the increasing surveillance of the individual, how we were going to have to give up our freedom to fight these wicked terrorists. 1996, 5 years before the terrorist attack, how could he possibly have known what was going to happen unless, of course, it was all slam dunk? We'd have a copy of the article. We'd be glad to send it to any of our listeners who'd like to read it, or, of course, to have you... you'll be included in my next newsletter. So as we began to look and see what happened that morning, and then, of course, the cover-up that occurred after that, and then we think that 2,700 Americans died. Why did not the president, you know, at least censor somebody? Why wasn't anybody fired? Why wasn't anybody, you know, reprimanded for dereliction of duty?
Well, that's absolutely stunning. That's such a great question, Stan. The only members of this administration who are ever reprimanded or fired or punished or what have you are the whistleblowers, those who have the courage to stand up and speak the truth. It's utterly shocking to me, in a case like this, that no one has been held responsible, and I think the only inference one can draw is that everyone was acting in accordance with the government's preferences and desires. This came out just the way the government wanted it to come out, and I think that goes all the way from Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld to Richard Myers, and on down the list to Condoleezza Rice and Larry Silverstein and Mayor Giuliani. I mean, it's just shocking when you consider the individuals who appear to have played a role here. And just to mention Condoleezza Rice, she had not only co-authored a book with Philip Zelikow, but she made much of the claim that no one had ever imagined that planes could be used as weapons. And yet those terror drills that were being held that very morning were in part designed to protect ourselves from that. And a year before, a simulation of a terrorist strike using a Boeing 757, remarkably, and the kind of damage it would do to the Pentagon was conducted, and we have photographs from the simulation. So Condoleezza Rice either was so incompetent that she didn't know enough to know what was going on, in which case she's not fit for office, or she was lying grossly to the American people, in which case she's not fit for office. It's difficult to resist the conclusion, therefore, that she is not fit for office.
Well, I think it's so interesting. So read the latest book put out by Tom Keene and Lee Hamilton, and it's called Without Precedent. They comment, well, we investigated, and we found out that the hijackers didn't buy up all the seats on the airplanes. Now, we have to understand that morning there was less than a quarter of the normal people on those four planes on average, and some of them had even less than a quarter, one of them had more. So there was a very limited number of people on those airplanes, and they assure us that the hijackers didn't buy up the seats. But if the hijackers didn't buy up the seats, who did buy up the seats? Because you can't fly airplanes with only a quarter of contingent. You might be one, but all four of them, on average, the less than a quarter of the normal people on the planes. So they just pass this off. Well, we investigated, and we found that the hijackers didn't buy it. But they never tell us why there weren't more people on the planes that morning.
Well, how can the hijackers get on the planes if they didn't buy tickets? I mean, none of their names appear on any of the passenger manifests. Now, we're talking about four different airlines. We're talking about four different airliners. We're talking about two different airlines. Are their policies so slovenly, so slack? Even in those days, you had to show a photo ID in order to be admitted onto an aircraft. As you observe, in Flight 11 out of Logan, there were only 92 seats occupied out of 351. United 175 out of Logan, only 65 out of 351. Flight 77, only 64 seats out of 289. And Flight 93, only 45 seats out of 289. What that means is you could have put all of those passengers from all four airliners on any one of them alone. And it's most peculiar that not only do the names appear on no passenger manifest, but none of them appear to have been subject to any autopsy. And, of course, it turns out that, as David Ray Griffin observes in the very first point he makes in his book on the 9/11 Commission, a half a dozen or more of these guys have turned up alive and well and living in the Middle East. Some of them have been quite shocked to learn that they had been killed in the crash of these airliners into these buildings. So that was quite a traumatic experience for them.
And, of course, the thing is, how could this possibly be? It defies explanation unless, of course, this is all a mirage, unless everything has been devised to convince the American people of a conspiracy. And that conspiracy was that 19 Muslims, came to America, hijacked four airplanes, and crashed three of them into buildings, and the fourth one went down in Pennsylvania.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Proper nutrition is absolutely essential for good health, but most people just don't eat right. Did you know that vitamin C is essential for our health? It's responsible for our collagen, for our bone. It's an excellent antioxidant that protects our immune system, but we can't produce it. Every other animal in the world can produce it except for fruit bats, hamsters, and human beings, and that's why we need vitamin C supplements. Most people are vitamin D deficient during the winter months, and certainly those who work indoors are vitamin D deficient during the entire year, and you need supplements. If you'd like to learn about the various health books and tape sets and videos and other health products that are available from Radionivity, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Radionivity Health Catalog.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
When my son started having behavior problems, the Total Transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Do you need an instruction manual for your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior now with the Total Transformation, the program that helps stop defiance and backtalking. Your child will listen to you again. I guarantee it.
Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems? Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly Pure soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dr. Fetcher was simply talking about the fact that it's the most incredible thing that when we look at the outside of the Pentagon after this airliner had crashed into the building, there are no wings, there are no engines, there's no landing gear, There's one little piece of red and white metal there that looks like it came from something very, very small, but that's all there is. And they tell us, well, it was so much pressure, it just all vaporized.
That one little piece of debris, by the way, Stan, appears to have been planted, and in fact it was photographed in several different locations. I guess they thought by taking multiple pictures in different locations, they could multiply how much debris was there.
Well, one of the things, and I have never been able to find out, did they ever come up with any bodies at all or anything to autopsy, bodies to plane, even when a plane, is a flaming inferno or daily, there is some residual human remains.
Well, the whole business about the bodies is really quite mysterious, and of course, they would have a makeshift morgue that would be well away from the building so that bodies might show up there that could have come from anywhere. For example, the Flight 77 that's alleged to have hit the Pentagon, but rather obviously did not, disappears from the radar screen in the Ohio-Kentucky border vicinity. So who knows what happened there? Maybe it landed, maybe it went into the Ohio River. It's not on the radar screen all the way back to the Pentagon. Now, some defenders of the government want to suggest, well, the hijackers turned off the transponder, but they don't understand the difference between the transponder signal being emitted by an aircraft to identify itself versus this metallic fuselage flying through the air, which is going to respond to radar waves that will reflect off of its body, no matter whether a transponder is on or off. So if that plane had been in the air, it would have been recorded on the radar screen. It was not recorded on the radar screen. Evidently, it was not on the air between the Kentucky-Ohio border and Washington, where another plane suddenly pops into existence. And Norman Mineta is in an underground bunker with Dick Cheney, who is coordinating these different multiple anti-terrorist drills that cause massive interference between the FAA and NORAD when a young aide comes up to him and says, "Sir, it's 50 miles out. Sir, it's 30 miles out. Sir, it's 10 miles out. Sir, do the orders still stand?" Mineta reported how Cheney turned on him and nearly bit off his head and said, "Of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything different?" The order had to be to not shoot down the plane. I mean, after all, shooting down the plane was the obvious thing to do. These planes are being used as weapons. If you shoot down the plane, you lose the passengers in the plane, but you don't also lose the personnel and the property at the target. If the order had been to shoot it down, then these anti-aircraft batteries that surround the Pentagon would have been activated. They're normally activated automatically, so they had to be shut down in order not to shoot down the plane. Would have shot it down. They didn't shoot it down. Obviously, the order had to be to not shoot it down. Interestingly, when I was on Hannity and Combs just 2 days, Thursday before the Los Angeles conference, that's the 22nd of June, Oliver North sitting in for Sean Hannity, when they were trying to question whether I was teaching undergraduates a course on 9/11, and they had their facts foxed, as I put it, and I explained to them I wasn't teaching such a course, but that we had made important discoveries. I explained we discovered that the Twin Towers had come down by controlled demolition. I gave the story about Norman Mineta's report of his observations of Dick Cheney, which he also gave to the 9/11 Commission, and which we have on tape, and also explained to them how the FBI had reported that it had no hard evidence tying Osama bin Laden to the events of 9/11. You would have thought they would have been more interested in the truth of that than whether or not I was teaching, or discussing these matters with my students, but they didn't raise a single question about these terribly important points, about the destruction of the towers by controlled demolition, that Norman Mineta had made these observations, and that our FBI had itself confirmed to two different reporters that it had no hard evidence of relating Osama bin Laden to the events of 9/11. And would you believe, Stan, the next morning it was announced that Norman Mineta had retired from government?
Well, you're a real troublemaker. Do you mind taking a call or two?
Oh, please.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. And we've got Lynn calling in. Hi, Lynn. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, well, actually, I think my question was for your previous guest. He was talking about the money, the gold money. Is that appropriate?
Oh, I'm sorry. You must be listening to the wrong program, because this is the KKMC program, and you're listening to KFER. So I'll ask you to call in on the evening program, and you can ask that question.
Okay.
God bless. Thanks so much. Actually, we have a little problem because we do two simultaneous broadcasts, and sometimes people call in hearing the other broadcast.
Now, sure.
If you have any questions out there concerning 911, give us a call. This is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, the most incredible thing is we're told that this plane just simply vaporized. It was just such an intense thing. But here is this plane that vaporized, and yet it goes through, what is it, three or four rings of reinforced concrete?
So they'd have us believe. Now, there have been studies done about the damage to the support pillars on that first floor, because the plane came in such a way that it actually had an impact point on the first floor. We'll have to return to that, because it appears to have been an aerodynamic impossibility with a plane of this dimension flying at the speed of 530 miles an hour attributed to it. But the fact of the matter is, Stan, in that third ring, the C-ring, you have a perfectly symmetrical hole, which could only occur if the building at that point had been hit right in the center by energy evenly distributed to blow it out symmetrically. According to the government, this plane came in at an angle, and there would have been nothing to blow it out symmetrically. And in earlier photographs, you see where someone, I would say, based on my military experience, 4 years in the Marine Corps, including supervising recruit training at the San Diego Recreate Depot, I think somebody didn't get the word because spray painted there in the vicinity of this huge hole that was blown out, it said, "Punch out."
And ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand that the E-ring is the outer ring, the D-ring is the second ring, the C-ring is the third ring, and this is heavy, what, a couple of feet of reinforced concrete on both sides of each ring?
That's right. So it would take, you know, massive force to do this. On the other hand, it appears this was a special effect that was arranged to confuse those who were studying the case, just as they appear to have had a secondary explosion after the initial hit in order to create more damage. The fact of the matter is that the initial hit point was only about 10 feet high and maybe 16 feet across. It's surrounded by unbroken windows. You have fence that's undamaged. You have a couple of automobiles that are partially damaged, but you don't have the massive pile of debris. You don't even have an imprint. And this is a limestone facade on the Pentagon. I mean, look at the images that were made by the aircraft when they crashed through the steel pillars on the World Trade Center. Here you don't even have an imprint on a limestone facade. So it's ridiculous to think that this aircraft, which weighs 100 tons, has a wingspan of 125 feet, has a tail that stands 44 feet above the ground, could possibly have crashed there and left no residue. The studies of the support pillars, interestingly, ignore the fact that there were these massive engines that ought to have made a difference. They just discount them as though they didn't exist, and it turns out that the pattern of destruction is compatible with a much smaller aircraft. Our study of the situation, mine in particular, supports the conclusion that what was actually used here was a smaller aircraft, probably an A-3 Sky Warrior, that fired a missile into the building just before it impacted with the building itself. And my surmise about the use of the missile is that there was a target in the building, although this was an unfinished section of the building in the West Wing, that was being reinforced, and it was bereft of personnel and of files. There were two sections there that were hit. One was the Office of Naval Intelligence, and the other was a group of accountants and auditors who were doing research on a missing $2.3 trillion that Donald Rumsfeld had reported to Congress just the day before. You would think that the Washington politician would report bad news on a Friday. Oddly enough, he reported this on a Monday. It's almost as though he knew the next day events were going to obliterate everyone's memory and the Congress would start shoveling hundreds of billions of dollars to the Pentagon again, even though it had misplaced $2.3 trillion.
We'll be right back here. We've got, let's see, is this Mary Lynn?
No, this is John.
This is John.
Yes.
All right, go ahead, John.
Yes, I appreciate you guys getting this information out because it's information that every American needs to know. I wanted to offer my background is in physics and engineering. I'm actually a registered engineer. I wanted to offer my proof that I knew 3 days after those buildings came down that they were, in fact, demolition.
All right. Why did you think that?
A person who lived 400 years ago knew the answer, Isaac Newton. If you look at Newton's second law, and you consider the motion, just the videotape motion of that building coming down, you'll notice that all four of those corners come down more or less simultaneously.
Right.
And there is no way possible in this physical world that can happen unless those corners were cut simultaneously or as close to being simultaneous as possible. And so that, I mean, that's how I knew 3 days after this happened that, it was
an inside job.
Right. I had a question that I was wanting to ask. I was wondering why perhaps you gentlemen could shed some comment why the FBI and the United States military hasn't gone in to our government and arrested these people for treason and...
I think everybody's afraid to, John. Everybody is, believe me, they have people placed in the military. They have people placed in the FBI, spies. We have spies all across this country. I was even approached many years ago to become an informer myself. This was 40 years ago. So they're watching everybody, and specifically our military. The one thing they fear is there might be some patriotic military officers.
Well, let me just say something, too. The FBI and the NTSB are used to cover up cases. I found that when I investigated the death of Paul Wellstone in a plane crash. It was very suspicious in northern Minnesota just before the election of 2002, which had the result of giving the control of the Senate to the Republicans. And, of course, they've had one-party rule ever since, rubber stamping any measure the administration wants to take, no matter how expensive, no matter how absurd, no matter how costly to the American people in terms of the lives and blood of their sons and daughters. But the fact is, from Shanksville, I received phone calls from persons who lived in the area telling me how they told the FBI they heard an explosion in the air before there was any impact in the ground, and the FBI would not write it down. Others wrote to me to say how they were being taken to an area, a search area, far outside the officially designated crash site by deputy sheriffs, who told them that if they were looking for body parts and aircraft debris, and they were told that if they mentioned this to anyone, the sheriffs would deny it. I know an inspector general of the Air Force, retired friend of mine, who used to be responsible for conducting air crash investigations, who told me that if the plane had crashed the way the government claims, and the debris should have covered about one city block. In fact, it's distributed over 8 square miles. I have a colonel who's a member of the Society of Scholars for 9/11 Truth has pointed out that the NTSB has a responsibility under federal law to conduct an investigation of every commercial airplane crash. There were four, allegedly, on that day. The NTSB has investigated none of them. I recently had access out in Los Angeles. Dylan Avery, who was responsible for creating the video, the DVD, Loose Change, which has been downloaded something like 10 million times for free off of the Internet, an astounding record just betraying how much the American people are thirsting for information and knowledge about what happened on 9/11, who showed me on his computer the raw data, the spreadsheet for those four flights from the FAA, and would you believe that all of the lines of the data for those four planes for the FAA are blank?
Okay, so, John, we've got a real problem, but please help us get the information out. Thanks so much for calling. And let's go to
Thank you.
Lynn, who's calling from Sacramento.
Yes, that's correct.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I have a couple of questions. First of all, what was that website that Mr. Petras has?
It's Scholars for 9/11 Truth. The best designation is ST911.org.
That's S as in scholar.
Yeah. S as in scholar.
911.org. Okay, I'm going to have to check that.
ST911.org, right.
Right.
And
now,
you can also find, by the way, among the articles, you can find one entitled Seismic Proof that 9/11 was an inside job that discusses that discrepancy between the seismic data and the time of impact of the buildings, reflecting the fact that those sub-basement explosions took place 14 seconds and 17 seconds before the planes actually impacted the building. So there was some human error involved in all of this.
One of the things I've been very fascinated with was the fact that Barbara Olson was coincidentally had just finished the book about the Clintons, The Final Days, I think was the name of it,
mm-hmm.
and was on her way to a talk program of, what's his name? Bill Maher's, anyway, she went down. I thought that was interestingly coincidental, and
yeah.
Now we hear nothing of, and of course the Clintons had been in charge of things and still had a lot of their own people in at the time of 9/11. It was only a few months.
All right.
So there are a lot of peculiarities about Barbara Olson's alleged phone call, for example, her husband, Theodore, who was our solicitor general at the time, who represented the administration before the Supreme Court, has given three or four different versions about the phone call. So the whole thing looks as though it's contrived. It turns out we have a professor of computer science who's been flying all over the country with multiple kinds of cell phones, and he's discovered that at altitudes above 2,000 feet and speeds above 235 miles, that these connections with the relay towers become fewer and farther between. Above 8,000 feet, it's virtually impossible that the cell phone calls that were alleged to have made when these planes were at cruising altitude around 30 to 35,000 feet would have been quite impossible, and all of those cell phone calls appear to have been faked, including the famous one of Mark Bingham, where he calls his mother and says, "Hi, Mom, this is Mark Bingham."
Okay, thanks so much, Mary. Anything else you want to say?
Well, it's just, I don't know how they knew who the hijackers were if they weren't on a passenger list, except for the one passport that went fluttering down.
They actually got four of the passports. Isn't that amazing?
I got a great story for you about that. According to an FBI agent by the name of Flagg, F-L-A-G-G, when Mohammed Atta, who was, of course, supposed to have been the coordinator of these suicide attacks, made a trip up to Portland, Maine, and then had to rush back to Logan in order to hijack the flight, he left behind a piece of luggage. According to Special Agent Flagg, inside that piece of luggage was a hijacker's manual combined with a very convenient list of the names of the 19 hijackers. Now, I find that fascinating because, he said that's how the FBI knew so fast the names of the hijackers. Now, since we have a half a dozen or more turning up alive and well in the Middle East, the FBI has fudged to the extent of saying, well, maybe some of them used phony names. They haven't changed or revised their list. But my point would be, if it's true that they got the list from Mohammed Atta, how could Mohammed Atta not know the correct names of his fellow suicide bombers, suicide hijackers in a case like this? If something's wrong with the government story. It can't be true that they got this list from Mohammed Atta and yet be true that some of the names are wrong on the list, and yet some of the names are obviously wrong.
It was that convenient of him just to have a list there so the FBI could find it.
See, when you do that, Stan, I mean, if you're in collaboration with a bunch of bad guys, when you have a list of exactly who it was you were in collaboration with.
Right, well, that was... thanks so very much, Mary.
Thank you for your guest.
This is comic book quality stuff.
You couldn't even sell comic books. Nobody
actually
would believe this.
You're right.
Let's go to Mike.
Well, believe it or not, Stan, they're putting out the 9/11 Commission Report in the form of a comic book.
Mike, if you're there in New York, we'll be in just a moment here. Just hang on, be patient. And our guest has been Jim Fetzer, Professor Jim Fetzer. We'll be back to wrap up the program in just a moment here. Have you ever wondered why the incidence of cancer and diabetes and heart disease is increasing in the United States? Are you eating a lot of food that's loaded with sugars in them? Or are you certainly eating prepackaged meals that are loaded with MSG? Or are you drinking Diet Coke that's loaded with aspartame? What are you doing to protect your health? What are you doing to protect the health of your family? Well, most people really don't understand the importance of good nutrition, so I've compiled a list of the books on health, the tape sets, the videos, the vitamins and minerals and herbal products that Radio Liberty carries, and the doses of the products that we recommend. If you'd like to receive a free copy of the Radio Liberty Health Catalog, why don't you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And remember, proper nutrition is essential for good health.
The Bill of Rights is a term for the first 10 amendments of the Constitution, limiting the federal government's power and preserving the rights of the people. Each day, we gradually lose these rights that we are entitled to. We need to take a stand to let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. Today, you can take this stand. You can express your beliefs by wearing a new and innovative t-shirt available only through GCN. Each shirt is black with a redesign of the famous Don't Tread on Me Gadsden flag located on the front of the shirt. On the back is the Bill of Rights, printed in bold white text. Each shirt is $15 plus $7 shipping. Please send a check or money order for $22 along with size and the number of shirts being ordered to Liberties. That's LIBBERTEES. 447 Thompson Bay Loop, New Blaine, Arkansas, 72851. Or go to GCNLive.com to view this great shirt today. Sizes XXL and larger at $2. Arkansas residents at 8% sales tax.
By now, it is no surprise that the U.S. ranks 37th in the world in occurrence of chronic illness, according to the World Health Organization. Due to modern farming and food processing practices, our food supply has become nutrition deficient, deficient in nutrients essential to good health. It is time to take back your health. Everyone has the right to good health. Join the self-reliant families, entrepreneurs, and the company pioneering cutting-edge glyconutrient technology. The wellness revolution is projected to be a $1 trillion industry by 2010. We are looking for people who are serious about bettering their lives and the lives of the people they love. Better health is possible. To learn more, go to therighttogoodhealth.com. You have the right to decide what is attainable in your lifetime. You have the right to build a healthy lifestyle that you can share with your friends and family. You have the right to achieve self-reliance and financial independence. And you have the right to good health. Visit therighttogoodhealth.com.
Well, this is Arthur Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us so we can pay for the for all the radio time and shortwave time and satellite time and internet time that we have. And we've got listeners all over the country, all over the world. In fact, I talked to Constance Cumby today, who's going to be with us in Cincinnati tomorrow on our earlier program. And she told me that she had just gotten a letter from somebody in Great Britain talking about having heard her interview on Radio Liberty. And they transcribed it, and it was being read by members of the British Parliament at the present time, distributed. So we do have an outreach, and when you join the Radio Liberty family, why, you become part of our effort. So you can join the Radio Liberty family by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You can help us if you haven't got a big Berkey or Berkey Light water filter, or you have fluoride in your water. And if you have it, believe me, they're destroying the minds of your children. It'll take 10 points off the IQ. And if you want the documentation on that, give me a call and I'll be glad to send you the articles, the documentation on that. Take 10 points over your child's IQ. There are no geniuses in the areas of China where they have fluoride in the water. But there are a lot of kids with an IQ of about 70. It triples the number there, increases the incidence of Down's disease, and, of course, it increases infertility. It softens the bone, increases cancer. They know what water fluoridation does. If you want to learn more about water fluoridation, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You can go to the website of the Environmental Protection Agency, Union, that is NTEU280.org. Read what the scientists who work for the EPA are saying, the information they're trying to get out to you that you're not going to hear because the media is controlled. And then you'll know why I do what I do, 5 hours a day. And if you want to get a Berkey or Berkey Light and get the fluoride out of your water, call us at 1-800-544-8927, and then we do hope that many of you will want to get some of the various publications we have dealing with 911. First of all, we have three pamphlets that, based upon my letters, which I think are pretty good. You can get all three pamphlets for $9.95 plus shipping. It's called Foreknowledge 911. Three pamphlets together. Foreknowledge 911. And then, of course, we carry the book, The Terror Timeline. We think it's important. War on Terror, which came out right after the 911 attack, but has a great deal of great information in it. We carry the video In Plain Sight, the video The Day That Changed America Forever. This is not widely circulated, but we think it's very, very important, and that's why we're offering it to you, The Day That Changed America Forever. And you'll actually hear Gary Hart, Council on Foreign Relations, former presidential candidate, talking to an emergency meeting of the Council on Foreign Relations and saying this incident may allow the president to carry out what his father talked about, I think, only once, and that is create a new world order. That's what it was all about. You'll hear the president of Canada saying this war is going to go on forever, and that's the plan. They're going to use this to increase their power over your life and take away our freedom and destroy the sovereignty of the United States and plunge us into war after war after war. So you need to understand, and you need to help us get the information out. That's the book, The Terror Timeline. You can get our update on the 911 update or our 4-tape set on 911. And, of course, then you can get the video in plain sight. You could get the video, The Day That Changed America Forever. And then, of course, we hope you'll go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. We ask you to certainly pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Please don't forget we're having our conference here, our yearly conference on the 29th of October. Please call in and make your reservations. We've got a great lineup of speakers. That's the 29th of October. It's a Sunday, but it'll be a great time. And so until tomorrow, at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
With news on the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Scholl. President Bush has a blunt warning for Iran following Tehran's refusal to stop enriching uranium. Mark Smith is with the president.
The president says Iran has responded to reasonable offers from the West with defiance and delay, and that cannot go unanswered.
There must be consequences for Iran's defiance, and we must not allow Iran to develop a nuclear weapon.
His remarks at the American Legion Convention came as UN diplomats pondered possible sanctions, which accused Tehran of fomenting terror.